about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Bring it in, morning cheer.
U-G-L-Y. You ain't got no alibi, you ugly. Ho, ho, you ugly. You mama say you ugly. Hey!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
There is in Yorkshire a little country village whose pastoral charm is reflected in its poetic name. It's called Bugthorpe. But recently, Bugthorpe has acquired a further distinction. To match its unusual name, it has acquired an unusual inhabitant. The newcomer is a badger. Her name is Yogi, and she must be one of the tamest badgers there's ever been.
It's a good thing it's the weekend.
What?
It's the weekend. Good thing.
What?
A good thing it's the weekend.
Oh. Yeah. TGIF.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Well, we've got a couple of active beavers.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Come on, Allie, either spit it out or don't.
Roll another one.
I know this guy down in Guatemala.
Just like the other one.
I just wanted people to like me more.
This one seems to be about quit.
Oh, this is sad now. It's just sad.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Whoop, whoop.
Roll another one.
Why didn't you give the ball to Marshawn?
Just like the other one.
Yeah!
This one seems to be about
spent. The white people go crazy. They really do.
And I don't have another cent.
I'm going to send a big old massive truth load right into your guts.
But we'll both die.
I think you're both drunk. I smell alcohol.
Just pass it around.
Are you guys really happy with where this bit's going?
And the bogart that joined, my friend. Well, just pass it on down.
And now.
You two are very sexy people.
Thank you.
$200, you let me lick your foot.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, the 8th of February.
Allie.
Hey.
Allie's
welcome back.
Allie's alive.
Hi. She's
alive.
I am.
How was Las Vegas?
It's pretty good. I love... Oh.
No.
We gotcha.
We trapped you.
We gotcha.
Dang it.
Let me hear some of that. Let me hear some of that voice. Is it back?
Oh, the voice is back. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for asking.
It's also an odd request.
It is odd.
Let me hear some of that voice.
It sounded a little bit froggy just in a few words. I just wondered if she was back at full strength.
Gotcha. I think I'm back at full strength. However, I had the wind knocked right out of me as soon as I got here. And Chip, I'm sorry to bring this up. But
I'm still getting over it.
I know. So sitting here, just typing away, doing stuff. And Bean looks through the camera and says, Chip, did you get a haircut? And I said, oh, look at you, Bean, noticing things. And without missing a beat, he said, and I quote, well, I have to keep up with her hair so I can adjust it in my dream.
Ooh,
oh,
that's
oh
not,
my God. Oh, my God.
I don't feel like that.
Within a minute of being here, and yeah. It affected me,
sure.
Let alone Chip.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Luckily, I have no soul, so it's fine.
That's good.
You should get hazard pay.
Good Lord.
Look, it was just the one time, but in case it ever happens again,
I
want it to be accurate. You
right.
know, I pay attention to details.
Do
sure.
we just send this into HR, like the whole segment, or just the sentence?
Hey, Kevin, I can't remember. I get confused. You do or do not watch the news? I can't remember which one you are.
I mean, in general.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
Okay, that's right. You're the one who doesn't watch the news.
Right.
Are you?
By the way, I'd just like to say, I don't know how you people, anybody that watches the news a lot, can function.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's so depressing and angry.
I'll tell you, I can answer that question.
Okay, go.
Because as bad as the news is most days, some days you wake up and you see the headline, "No thank you, Mr. Pecker." And that makes everything worthwhile. It's worth paying attention because of "No thank you, Mr. Pecker." Now, do you know what that's a reference to?
I do not.
Jeff Bezos yesterday put up a post, curiously, on Medium.com instead of on the Washington Post website, which is the newspaper he owns. Jensen, can you, for a million years, figure out why he didn't post this on the Post site?
I have two theories.
One, yes, please. Because he would drive a billion views.
Yeah, one is he's an investor in Medium, which we don't know for sure. And I know people have been thinking it since he posted it. But I would guess maybe he's now an investor in it. And then the other one is it pushes him away from the bias, quote unquote, of what Washington Post has, quote unquote, again, been doing since Trump's election. So he wanted to stay away from.
Right. But the Post has opinion columnists that are not held to the same journalistic standards
I think
as the reporters.
Ethically, you don't post it on something you own.
Well, sort of. It could be an opinion from the editor, from the owner. But
okay.
Either way, I think he has a piece of Medium.
I see what you're saying, and that makes sense. What you're saying, Ali, too, is yeah, he's just trying to separate it from the business.
Right.
All right. So, Kevin,
just
so here,
trying to figure out what was said.
If he stays on Medium.com, though, I do hope he just puts up GIFs and stuff.
What happened, Kevin, is that he was. Legal opinions vary, but he was either blackmailed or extorted or whatever word you want to use by AMI, which is the parent company of the National Enquirer led by David Pecker. That's the "No thank you, Mr. Pecker." They wrote to him and said, if you don't back off from investigating the National Enquirer and trying to make it look like we are politically motivated with these stories that, by the way, we already know that they have a catch and release policy with Trump stories. If you don't back off, we are going to post all sorts of incriminating stuff that we hacked from your text messages with your mistress.
What?
Yes.
Selfies and sexy talk. And this whole thing is so confusing to me for so many reasons, not the least of which is it's already widely known and acknowledged that he had this mistress. He and his wife have already separated and started the divorce proceedings. So it's not like this is breaking news that he cheated on his wife. Okay. His wife's already walked away with a $500 million or whatever it is.
How much did you say?
$500 million?
Oh, no. She's...
I thought it was billions.
Billions.
Yeah.
Oh, billions. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He is the richest man in the world.
And she's now the richest woman in the world. That's
and
true.
I guess I was also just thinking so much about this yesterday. Is it smart or dumb to try to blackmail the richest man in the world? Smart
stupid.
Because he has money, but stupid because there's no way you can ever match him dollar for dollar in fighting back, right?
No. So dumb.
And
this
it's funny
is the dumbest.
And it's funny enough because his defense is $0.
Like
the thing he put up on Medium.com is free to him. Like
he
obviously had attorneys and stuff look it over. Mm-hmm. But like he didn't go to court to fight back. He didn't do anything. He just posted the emails.
And how are you going to put blackmail in emails?
Yeah.
Like don't you do it differently?
It's insane.
Yes. That's one opinion a lot of people said yesterday is what attorney would allow this to be in writing?
Right.
Yeah. And that's craziness.
I guess they thought the cover was that Bezos would be so embarrassed or whatever that he would never let it get out that this had happened, right?
I like that they just threw out, we hacked your texts and we have them all. And then they just moved on as if that's not something.
And then the other thing that's crazy is they describe each photo.
I have that here, Jensen.
And they do it in the most embarrassing way, and Bean will show you. But it does give you the feeling that they were trying to embarrass him back into a hole. Yeah.
And by the way, let me just say this about that. Jeff Bezos is ripped. Like, how do you embarrass that dude if he's standing around with his shirt off?
Yeah, he's very
and
buff.
Apparently, from what I've read,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
He's got nothing to be ashamed
of. He is well endowed. He's got a big penis, is what I'm saying.
No, we understand.
It's apparently huge, right?
Yeah, we got that. Yeah.
I don't know if you...
Here's the note. I'm leaving the office for the night. I will be, again, this is coming from the National Enquirer attorney. I am leaving the office for the night. I will be available on my cell. Here's the number. However, in the interest of expediting the situation and with the Washington Post poised to publish unsubstantiated rumors of the National Enquirer's initial report, I want to describe to you the photos obtained during our news gathering. In addition to the below-the-belt selfie, otherwise colloquially known as a D-pic, the Enquirer obtained further 9 images that include Mr. Bezos' face selfie at what appears to be a business meeting. Oh, my God.
Not
what if we
meeting.
See that?
No.
What?
God.
I'll never buy from Amazon again!
Ms. Sanchez responds. That's Lauren Sanchez, former news anchor here in Southern California, who is the mistress, now girlfriend. A photograph of her smoking a cigar in what appears to be a simulated oral sex scene. That's very Lewinsky-esque, isn't it?
Sure.
And or is she big, fat, juicy pickles?
Or is she just smoking a cigar? I don't know. A shirtless Mr. Bezos holding his phone in his left hand while wearing his wedding ring. He's wearing either tight black cargo pants or shorts, and his semi-erect manhood is penetrating the zipper of said garment.
I'd be more embarrassed by the cargo pants.
And by the way, they make a point of mentioning his wedding ring because that's their point, is they're saying, oh, he was cheating on his wife, which we already all know.
Right.
I mean, if it's already out there, how is this blackmail material?
Well, wait, did this come out after? I'm confused by what you're saying. Did this come out after the news had broke? I thought this was before we all knew.
I thought it was after the news had broke, but let's check that timeline.
Yeah.
A full-length body selfie of Mr. Bezos wearing just a pair of tight black boxer briefs or trunks with his phone in his left hand while wearing his wedding ring. A selfie of Mr. Bezos fully clothed. And Allie's just mad because he's fully clothed. A full-length, scantily clad body shot with short trunks. A naked selfie in a bathroom while wearing his wedding ring. Mr. Bezos is wearing nothing but a white towel, and the top of his pubic region can be seen.
Hello!
By the way, if I looked as good as Bezos does, I would do nothing but post pictures like that.
Just walk around like that all day, every day.
Miss Sanchez wearing...
Oh, yeah, I'm just going...
Yo, you guys, please put them out.
Miss Sanchez wearing a plunging red neckline dress, revealing her cleavage and a glimpse of her nether region. Miss Sanchez wearing a two-piece red bikini with gold detail dress, revealing her cleavage. It would give no editor pleasure to send this email. I hope common sense can prevail, and quickly. Well, guess what? It didn't. So Bezos fighting back on this.
I mean, I didn't hear anything that was very bad, except for the D-pick.
And that's not bad. If you're sending that to your girlfriend, you got every right to do that, right?
Sure.
Right. I mean, it's not great for the wife, but I'm just...
Well, and when this all came out, there was talk of everybody in this situation being separated at the time.
That's what I thought.
Yes, that's what I had heard as well. Yeah. But that did come out later. So basically, I think the blackmail is like, we have the biggest businessman in the world cheating. I think that's it.
Right.
Well, I think it's a... I mean, I could be completely wrong. I don't know legal stuff. To me, this was a baller move that he kind of came out with that.
That's the greatest.
Oh, there were no... Oh. Sorry. Listen, I spent a good chunk of my day thinking Jeff Bezos, A, the richest man in the world.
Right.
B, great body. See, huge nether region.
Right. Like, damn, son, where'd you find this?
Like, how blessed can one man be? Right. Enough, spread it around. Let me see a pic. Okay. Is what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
I
want to
see a pic.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that story. It is fascinating stuff.
Just one picture.
See, Kevin. Now you see why watching the news pays off.
But.
That's good stuff.
I learned it without watching the news, so.
Well, sure. I can't argue with that.
Thank you for that.
It is Friday morning. Let's talk about today's show.
It's war, dude. You punch me in the face, I come after you. See how it works? You run your mouth about how you're this big, tough son of a bitch all day. Dude, you want war. You've got one.
Oh, good God.
That's him talking about Joe Rogan, and it's...
Oh, is that right?
A beautiful war going on right now is Joe Rogan versus Alex Jones. Maybe we'll get into it next week.
Yeah, wow. That'd be great. Keep it 100 because it's Friday. It's Book Friday as well. Brad Meltzer will be joining us.
Oh.
We are going to give away tickets for Muse. Very excited about that, which is tomorrow night. Were we telling people that?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Saturday at the Palladium sold out. Yeah.
Okay, just didn't know. That worried me just for a second.
No one heard it.
We're going to be talking to the host of the Grammys.
Yes.
Alicia Keys.
Yeah!
Let's keep it together, you guys.
No. And we have two different times that we're going to give you tickets to the Grammys as well. So that's good. It is 5:55.
In for Jensen with What's Happening, here's Allie McKay.
See, because you said In for Jensen when it's really Allie. Okay,
oh, that's right. It's the other way around. I got confused. I'm sorry.
I get it. All right. Remember when we talked about is there any downside to performing at the Super Bowl because they tend to get, you know, so many of their streams just jacked up.
Right.
People start buying their music like, hey, I forgot how great they were. And we were talking about how this could really benefit Maroon 5. Well, in total, Maroon 5's entire catalog of songs climbed 38.3 3% in on-demand streams. So that's...
Is that people who wanted to see if those songs are possibly as bad as they appeared on television?
Wow.
I gotta check out and see if this is how it's supposed to sound, because something's wrong here with my TV.
Wowzers. However, that pales in comparison to one particular song that jumped 566% in streams after their Super Bowl halftime cameo, although they weren't even there. When Travis Scott performed, he was introduced by an on-screen snippet of the Band Geeks episode of the animated series SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yes.
In that clip, about 8 seconds of fanfare from the song Sweet Victory is heard. Sweet Victory jumped 566% in streams. That's funny.
And they didn't even play it.
No, no. It was just a clip behind him.
Does that prove that SpongeBob SquarePants should have played the halftime?
I think that's what they're all saying. That's it. That's crazy, right?
Plenty of people ticked when Travis Scott started rapping because they're like, keep playing the SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Did people really?
Yes. So oh, my God. It exploded.
No.
Because people were all excited that there was going to be some SpongeBob angle to the halftime show, and that was it. 8 seconds, man.
And that was all based off, like, a petition online to tribute the creator of SpongeBob SquarePants, who passed away this year, at the halftime show.
Yeah, change.org petition.
Memes, baby.
Yeah. Sometimes they work.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just crazy people. Sometimes
you mean like the people who wanted to replay the Saints game? Those kinds of people? Sometimes it's a waste of time, petition.
I mean, if you think about it, New Orleans did not watch the Super Bowl in mass.
Right.
So... It worked in New Orleans.
Well, the boycott worked, but not the petition to replay the game.
Well, that was never going to work.
That was a waste of time.
That was just...
Still got a chance, though. They could do it later.
That's true.
Pick it up now.
You never know the future. You
never know.
How Goodell would that be? Like, you know what? I've been thinking about it. Jeez, I can't. You guys, it's scary when people that we love and know kind of their background tweet things that get us really concerned. Like Matthew Perry, who's had a lot of problems with addiction and depression. He's been very open about it. So he tweeted out the other day that he got kicked out of therapy. And people were like, well, that's not good. What does this even mean? And time went on, no clarification was offered. People became really concerned about his health because of his longstanding battles with depression and addiction. Thankfully, he did follow up with another tweet yesterday explaining that he was only kicked off for one session. I'm back in therapy where I belong. But don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Freak people out. Why is he trolling?
And what do you get kicked out of therapy for?
Showing your... I mean, I speak just only for myself,
right.
But
sure.
You're not supposed to show your hoo-ha during, especially group therapy.
I mean, if you're disruptive or not following the rules in terms of, you know, what you're allowed to say and do in those group meetings, maybe something like that. Maybe you get a
Do we know this is a group meeting?
We don't.
No,
it sounded like a one-on-one, so what?
I can't imagine what you get kicked out for at a one-on-one.
Yeah, that's odd.
Farting.
I don't know. I think my therapist would be fine with that.
Oh, dear.
Keep it going.
You are gaseous. You have some gaseous issues.
Yeah.
But mostly it's the...
Yeah, acid reflux.
Yeah. Do you have farting problems?
Yeah, I do.
All right, well...
Can we talk to your therapist?
Yeah, you know. She'll tell you I fart.
That doesn't seem problematic at all.
Good Lord. All right, let's... Leave it at that and talk about some birthdays. Seth Green, Nick Nolte, John Grisham, Cecily Strong, Anderson .Paak, and a man who wrote and performed. He's the composer of my lifetime, if not everyone's lifetime. I wake up to his music every day.
Mm-hmm. Please be Fred Durst.
Happy birthday, Fred Durst.
Yeah.
John Williams.
He's done some stuff we've heard of.
Yeah, he has.
Is this your alarm? This is what you hear when the...
That is actually what you hear when you call me. That's my ringtone.
Do you wake up to Munich?
No. Thank you for asking, though.
Schindler's List?
Nope. No, it's still in the Star Wars family. I wake up to Princess Leia's theme.
Oh.
Good choice.
Really nice.
All right.
Let's just keep listening.
kind of semi-retired now, right? Like, he does not do the Star Wars music anymore.
Yeah, don't you think, like, somebody would come to him and request another gig, and he's just like, Star Wars.
It's like, I'm John Mother Evan Williams.
Why would I do anything else?
Get off my porch. I bet he has a nice porch, right? Probably, like, wrap around.
Rocking chair?
And, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Chip, don't point at your butt. That's not what I meant by porch. Kind of did.
We have tickets for you to see Muse.
What?
Tomorrow night.
That's astonishing. Are you talking about City Sound Vault Presents Muse at the Hollywood Palladium, sold out tomorrow night? You can't buy tickets, but you can win it from the Kevin and Bean Show?
Nope.
Sounded
different.
No, different one.
Sounded so natural, though. We're going to be doing Listeneroki in about 10 minutes. Listeneroki. So that's you singing your favorite Muse song. So pick one, get ready, maybe warm up a little bit,
and then
we'll ask you to call in about 10 minutes.
It's easy to sound just like Matt Bellamy, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially at 6:30 in the morning.
Right.
So when do they call? They call now or
no,
just
about
call
10 minutes.
Okay, about 10 minutes from right now, we'll be looking for you to sing your favorite Muse song. Someone will win tickets to the show tomorrow night. That's going to be awesome. Speaking of tickets, by the way, Alicia Keys, the host of the Grammys this Sunday night on CBS, she joins us just after 7. Then we have Grammys tickets to give away right after that, and then another pair in the 8 o'clock hour. So I would just like to say we're pretty much hooking you up here today.
Right? Did you guys see the Delta Airlines and Coca-Cola thing?
I did.
This is sort of crazy. This is sort of crazy in that you don't see companies this established make a misstep. Or what a lot of people call a misstep.
Oh yeah, you do. There's a lot of whiffing. There's a lot of companies that whiff.
I do remember
the story Jensen was just doing yesterday about that stupid Gucci.
The blackface sweater.
Sweater. Yeah, I mean, companies all the time put out stuff and they go, "Oh, you know what? We didn't look at it that way, or we should have thought that."
Yeah, I think one year the hamburger helper, you know, the little hand with the face. I think one year he was like, "Never forget on 9/11, and behind him were the two towers."
No,
oh,
I think that happened. If not, it's a great dream I had.
There are a lot of missteps, but I would like, well, I know you're going to play some news audio on the story here. I would like to say that this is much ado about nothing, to quote a great man.
I have a different opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, and because of you, Bean. That's my answer. That plays into it heavily. So what they do is they want to have a napkin that encourages you on it. It has you can put your information on it. And if you see anyone on the plane, it sort of encourages you to flirt with them. You give them your phone number or whatever written down on this napkin.
Yeah, instead of giving your phone number to somebody on a white napkin, you give it to them on a napkin that has a slot for your name and your number. If there's somebody, and by the way, I don't think this is for a random person that you walked by in 27B when you got on the plane. I think this is something for somebody that you've been chatting with. For the most part, that's how it would be used.
No,
somebody even talking with on the plane.
If you're chatting with somebody and you are interested, you get their number.
If you need a napkin after you've been chatting with them, I think you have a bigger issue.
This is, I think, random people.
Yeah.
I don't think so. But even if it were, nobody has to use it. Right. And
people
out all the time or ask for somebody's number or share somebody's number all the time. This napkin is not going to make somebody do it that ordinarily wouldn't do it. It's not going to add to the number of people who are flirting on a plane.
But you don't have to make it a game. It's not a singles meat market plane. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't the MGM Grand pool party on a Saturday. Like, this is a normal plane where most people are going for business travel is really the most common way of flight. Like, no one wants to be, like, it can happen. It happens naturally and organically.
Right.
You don't have to make it a cool flirting game.
It is a captive audience, though.
Yeah. Right.
That's true. And I think also their point is, and maybe you guys tell me if I'm reading way too much into this, because obviously their only goal is to get you to smile and think positive thoughts about Coke. I mean, they don't care whether people meet or not. They're just, it's advertising is what it is. But I also think that there's something that they're trying to tap into of, you're going to be on that plane, and all you're going to do is watch your tablet or read a book or something like that.
Yes, that's all I want to do.
Why not think for – let's remember there are lots of other people on this plane, as the napkin says, who are interesting people. Maybe it's okay to meet some of those people. Maybe it's okay to actually have conversation for a change instead of just being deep in your phone.
Then make the napkin say, you know, let's be friends or something. It doesn't have to be like, here's my number, bro.
I go out of my way to put on headphones and make sure that I don't have to talk to anyone on a plane.
Yeah, can my napkin say, don't talk to me?
Right.
By the way, Governor Mike Huckabee, who's well known for his sense of humor.
Oh, he's a great comedian.
He's a tremendous comedian. He tweeted yesterday when the story broke, dang, that's why so many flight attendants and nice-looking women kept giving me napkins experience on my Delta flight. Oh. I thought they just wanted to sign up for my daily MikeHuckabee.com newsletter.
Oh, sweetie.
It truly is the conservative Jerry Seinfeld.
Here is one that seems to be the prevailing opinion, which, by the way, Kevin, is yours. Okay. Most people certainly agree with you. Hey, Delta and Coca-Cola, these napkins are creepy AF. Pretty sure no one appreciated unsolicited phone numbers in the good old days, and they sure as heck don't want the number of someone who's been gawking at them on a plane for hours today. Not a good look.
Here's the news.
Delta Airlines and Coca-Cola are getting some backlash for creating a turbulent situation.
Turbulent!
She got me good! On board. While some thought this Diet Coke napkin was cute, others called it creepy, so now Coke and Delta are apologizing. The big fuss is over this. The napkin encouraged passengers to, quote, be a little old school and, quote, write your number down and give it to your plane crush. You never know. Dot, dot, dot.
Here's the thing.
Yes, please, Allie. Bring some reason into this argument.
Bean, this is going to shock you. I agree with you.
What?
No, calm down.
And you're the pretty girl who would be most likely to be given a phone number
and
on a plane.
You know what I would do? I'd go, oh, thanks. That's weird. And then I'd get over it. But here's the thing. Virgin America, rest in peace, my favorite airline, used to have a thing where you could send people drinks from your seat. Like, right. Oh, 4C, I'd like to get him a drink, whatever. Nobody cared about that. Nobody was getting all up in their feelings like, oh my God, this is ruining everything.
Well, because the drink thing didn't say send this to your crush.
It was implied.
Sure, imply it then. I do. I think that's the big difference. I think encouraging people being like, come on our flight because you can randomly give your number to people who haven't asked for it is just a weird advertisement. I don't even think it's a PC thing. I just think it's a weird advertising campaign.
Plus, the hottest girl on the plane is just covered in napkins.
Right? I mean, listen, I
can't
love
even see her
napkins.
Face anymore. She's drowning in napkins. Is she beautiful?
Here's one Twitter user named Sergey. How would you pronounce that?
Who cares?
I'm not reading.
Okay. Call me Steve.
Said the napkin simply made him laugh on a recent flight from Madrid. I didn't feel encouragement to do anything with other passengers just because of the piece of paper under my drink. People need to calm down.
That's my point with Sergey, Steve, Sergey. Gay. I mean, who, like, let's, there are other things that we could be upset about. Like when our plane gets in an hour early and we're so stoked that we made up for time and then there's no gate available. We should be mad at that.
There should be a napkin for that.
Right? Amen.
We need a napkin for everything.
Here's the number one more time. 1-800-520-1067. Lines are open right now. You are a Muse fan, and you recognize that this is your last chance to win these tickets on the Kevin and Bean Show for tomorrow night. City Sound Vault presents Muse at the Hollywood Palladium. You need to be there. Big band, little place. All you have to do is sing your favorite Muse song. It's Listener-Roki. Call now. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play.
You know, they make it look easy, the interrupters. They just sing, and it seems to be easy for them. But it's not as easy when we put you on the phone and you have to sing a Muse song.
No, it's not at all. This is your last chance to win him from the Kevin and Bean Show. A pair of tickets to the sold-out City Sound Vault. Hey, I'm doing a radio show here, you guys. A little respect for the craft.
It was so loud it went on our mics.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
A little so respect sorry. For the craft, says the guy who lets his dog snore on the air.
Yeah.
Okay, we're off topic.
City Sound Vault presents Muse at the Hollywood Palladium tomorrow night. By now you know we're asking you to call us. Sing your favorite Muse song, 1-800-520-1067. One winner will win tickets to the show. It's time for Listener-Roki.
Listener-Roki, Listener-Roki, that's the game we're going to play. Listener-Roki, Listener-Roki, come and sing and don't be lame.
All right, so it's knockout round rules, right? You sing, and if you're the best person on the phone, you stay on the phone. Everybody, challengers will come at you, but the best man or woman is going to be left at the end and will win the tickets.
All right, let's start with John in Orange. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning.
Welcome to Listener-Roki. What song are you going to sing?
Madness.
All right. Okay, we were looking forward to that. Go ahead.
Okay. I can't get these memories out of my mind, and some kind of madness has started to evolve.
Yeah,
waiting for that part. There it is.
Waiting for that part.
Okay, all right. Okay, thank you.
John, you're in the lead. You're in the lead.
You're in the lead. Congratulations.
Not for long, but thank you. Or I mean, or he could win. We don't know.
Never know.
We have no idea.
Let's go to Norman in Anaheim. Good morning. Hello.
I'm Norman, but I'm in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Oh. All right.
All right. Norman. Why'd you move? What was going on in Anaheim?
Did you get kicked out of Anaheim?
Are you allowed within the city limits? All right. The bar is low. All you have to do is top John, and you'll be in the lead. What Muse song will you perform for us?
I'm going to do Madness also, but I'm going to do it like that cat thing you guys did the other day.
Oh, you're going to meow it.
Meow-yoki.
Oh, wow. Oh,
good
wow.
luck. You're amongst legends.
Right. Okay. Good luck. Here we go.
All right.
All right, here he goes. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow. Meow.
Not committed.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but John is
still
in the lead.
John is still in the lead. What are the chances of that?
All right.
What if John wins?
Well, then he'll be the rightful winner, I guess.
All right, let's go to Linda in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Linda. Hey. We apologize for this game so far, but we're hoping you can bring the heat. What Muse song do you have for us?
Supermassive Black Holes.
Ooh, all right. Love it.
Here's Linda. Okay.
All right. Oh, baby, don't you know I suffer? Oh, baby, can you hear me moan? You caught me under false pretenses. How long before you let me go? Ooh.
All right, I mean.
It set my soul alive.
Yeah, no, we got it.
All right.
I mean, it wasn't.
I mean,
it's
better than
I guess.
I mean, really feels
not better than John.
This feels a lot like the 2016 election.
Not so. John's still in the lead. You're saying
John might still be in the lead.
John,
what? No. Oh no.
What's happening?
John.
All right, let's go to Karen in Diamond Bar. Karen, good morning.
Morning.
I don't know why we're all rooting against John, but
because he seems like a nice man.
He does. But
I feel like we can do better. This is Muse tickets at the Palladium. Karen, what song do you have for us?
I'm gonna sing "Time's Running Out."
Okay.
Please make it great, okay?
Here's Karen.
I'll try.
Okay.
All right. Our time is running out. Our time is running out. Can't push it out the ground. Can't stop it singing now. How did it sound?
I mean, at least she didn't meow.
Yeah.
True.
Oh.
I give that guy credit for trying a swing and a miss, though.
Right,
I mean, he really
right.
brought it, but not.
Karen or John, you guys?
I mean, Karen.
You see Karen?
I think you guys remember John as being better than he was.
Well, I believe my mind, so I'm sticking with John.
What? You're crazy.
I feel
Karen's
like
so much
also.
Better. What? Karen was five times as good.
It was so
you guys
high.
Don't remember John.
No, John did the thing. Even you were like,
John.
Ooh, I was excited for that part.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Karen.
Sorry, Karen.
I'm sorry.
I loved you. This is no one else does. Wow.
Okay.
Should we just wrap it up? Are you guys just
going
to give it to John?
Keep
no,
going.
I want to be blown away.
I
do.
Oh, I see. I don't think you do. Let's go to Sophia in Burbank. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. It's yours to take if you got a great Muse song for us. What are you going to sing?
Plug In Baby. It's an old song.
Okay. Oh, it's a great song.
Yeah, great
All
song.
Right. We'd love to hear it.
Okay. Sorry. It's like going to be really bad.
Uh-oh.
I'm not a good singer. My plug-in baby crucifies my enemies when I'm tired of giving. My plug-in baby.
Okay. All right. You did not oversell it, that's for sure.
How is this happening?
I told you I'm not a good singer.
We appreciate your enthusiasm, and thank you for listening. I'm still
John.
Team John.
John, 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 John.
Let's
John.
Do right. one more.
Just one more. Okay.
Who's All right.
Who's our final contestant
of this game?
Oh, no.
Carla in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey.
Hey, this game is called Beat John. good luck. What are you going to sing for us?
Supermassive Black Hole.
All right.
All right, great.
Here's Carla.
Glaciers melting in the dead of night, and the superstar stuck into the supermassive. You set my soul alright. Glaciers melting in the dead of night, and the superstar stuck in the
drumming?
Are you at my high school lunch table?
I'm trying to be Navi and sing at the same time.
You're driving now.
Oh my. Okay.
That seems bad.
All right. Here's what I'm going to say and call this a controversial opinion. I felt Carla.
Me too. That's not controversial.
I felt Carla. How about you,
John?
Come on!
Who breaks the tie? Who breaks the tie? 2-2.
Allie, are you still Team John?
Yeah.
Jensen as well.
Comment. It goes to Chip.
I think it goes to Chip.
Come on! What? How? We were only. Come on!
Come on, John.
Hey, John.
Yay!
That's a win for you.
I mean, technically, yeah.
You got those tickets.
John is the LA Rams against the New Orleans Saints.
Thanks for playing the game.
Listen to Rocky, thanks for playing our game. Listen to Rocky, you suck.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
A little bit nervous. For the rematch with Alicia Keys coming up just after 7.
Rematch.
You know, the last time, Allie, we've told you the story. Mm-hmm. The last time we met Alicia Keys was in person in New York, and we were blubbering idiots because she was maybe the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen in my life in person, and I think Kevin felt the same way. Like, didn't seem real.
She was cartoonishly beautiful.
Yeah. Yes. And you didn't want her to go.
Right. So we started just asking nonsense questions. Bean would look at me, I'd look at him, and one of us would sort of go, okay, I got the next one. And it ended up with, like, do you like pasta? Those kind of questions. Because we didn't want her to leave.
Oh,
I think it was in New York for the MTV Video Music Awards. And at one point we were like, so Mets or Yankees? I mean, what do you think? I mean, we trying to keep her at the table.
We weren't good.
So maybe we don't bring that up when we talk about the Grammys. So not only Alicia Keys, excuse me, talking about the Grammys, but then right after that, we'll give you a pair of tickets to be in the Kodak. Is it the Kodak? Where do they do the Grammys?
Staples Center.
We'll let you be at Staples Center to see the Grammys in person this Sunday night. So that's a strong half hour.
I can't believe that's a thing we're giving out.
I know.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Well, Kevin can't go, so...
He's banned.
Yeah.
He's banned, right?
How dare you.
First, though, Allie is gratefully, we are happy to have her back from a couple of days off from being sick, and now here she is with another look at what's happening on a Friday.
Friday.
I like that Bean calls it a couple of days off.
Right.
Oh, for being sick.
Just fun at home.
Yeah.
Good times, everybody.
You're in love with your toilet now, though, right?
Well, that's... listen.
Her toilet is disrespected.
I'm allergic.
Probably holding a grudge.
I'm allergic to penicillin, so I couldn't take that. I had strep throat. Couldn't take penicillin because I'm allergic to it. So I take azithromycin.
The Z-Pack.
Uh-huh. The Z-Pack decided it didn't want to stay in my system.
Oh.
So it wasn't a good couple of days.
Okay.
But
oh, man.
Now everything's fine.
But you're at your ideal weight.
Now everything's fine sounded like a question to me.
No, now everything's fine.
Okay,
because
good.
Once you get those first two pills in for the Z-Pack, your throat feels so much better. And that's all I... All right. So I feel better. Guys, I want to give you something. Happy Death Day to You is in theaters on February 13th, but how would you like a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advanced Screening? It's yeah, kids love it. It's going down at AMC Burbank on February 11th. This is the college student that has to keep going to bed and dying over and over to save her friends.
Wow,
is
that's
the
direct
worst?
Log line. Yeah. That was straight from moviephone.com.
She's the target of a mass killer. She wakes up in an alternate reality. When the psychopath starts to go after her inner circle, she realizes that she must die over and over again to save her friends. Right?
It's a horror It's a horror movie Groundhog Day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And loved it. It was a great first one. Yeah.
Well, it's back. So if you are callers 10 through 14 right now at 1-800-520-1067, you're going to get a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advanced Screening of Happy Death Day to You at AMC Burbank on February 11th.
Call now.
Maybe I go to the party.
That was creepy.
Good luck to that. That was weird. I don't like it. Guys. Very sad news in the world of Hollywood. Albert Finney, one of the greatest actors ever, has passed away at the age of 82.
Oh, no.
His family confirmed to the Associated Press this morning that he passed away peacefully after a short illness with those closest to him by his side. If you don't know the name Albert Finney, let's just talk about some of his roles. I think most people might know him from Erin Brockovich, right?
He was her boss. At the
He was the boss in that. He was in Skyfall. He was in two of the Bourne movies. My favorite movie ever that I have literally four VHS copies that I went through as a little kid. He was Daddy Warbucks in Annie, you guys. What is your favorite?
Miller's Crossing.
Coen Brothers.
Coen Brother movie. Yeah.
Yes.
He's also very good in Big Fish.
Yeah.
Did he play bass?
With the Ewan McGregor movie, right?
Yes. No, he was not in the horn section of Real Big Fish.
I'm in Real Big Fish. Okay. Got it. Bean, what about you?
He played Winston Churchill in a movie called The Gathering Storm. And there have been a lot of great actors who have tackled that role before, but he may be my favorite. He was amazing.
Yes.
He was just great in everything, though.
Yeah, he's acted in more than 60 films, five-time Oscar nominee. He was an amazing actor. So, so good. Kevin, what about you?
Bourne movies.
Yeah.
He was great.
Rest in peace to Albert Finney. Very sad. You guys, you know when you lose something? Like, let's say way back in 1992, you never think you're going to see that something again.
Right. You give up.
You give up.
Mm-hmm.
So back in 1992, a year after the Smashing Pumpkins released their debut record, Gish, the band was playing a show in Detroit. After that show, his guitar just kind of walked away with somebody.
Hmm.
Someone stole his guitar. 27 years later, he is finally reunited with that guitar. A woman named Beth James bought the guitar at a Detroit yard sale because it looked cool. Neither her nor her daughters actually play guitar. And recently, she thought about selling it because she wanted a hot tub. She's like, this will go towards a hot tub sell it.
I've never related to someone more.
Exactly. And then a friend helped alert her to its history. She sent her an article suggesting that it might be Corgan's long-lost guitar. She tried messaging him on Facebook. Nothing. And finally, she got a meetup with him after the founder of Sound Royalties coordinated a meetup with Corgan. So she brings the guitar, and here's what she says.
How much will you give me for it?
In Rolling Stone. If you look at Billy, he's very stoic. He doesn't give a lot of facial expressions, but he looked down, and as she opened the case, he looked at it for a second and froze. Everybody was dead silent, and he goes, "That's it."
And
that's it. That's the story.
Out.
It was his guitar. So
he said, "That's it." That was the climax of the story.
That's it.
Okay.
Yep.
Honestly, that's very on brand for Billy Corgan.
It is true.
Right.
That's
what if he was like, "That's it. You can keep it."
That's exceptional that she did that.
I know, right?
Yeah. Instead of selling it for 75 cents at her.
Did he not, like, do a trade out with her?
I would assume. It doesn't say in this article, but don't you think he's like, "Let me buy that hot tub for you"?
Yeah, that would be such a good trade.
Yeah.
Not just because it's his, it's sentimental value for him. You know, it was his favorite guitar back then.
Right.
So, yeah, he definitely should have stepped up for the nice lady.
Do we know that he didn't?
No,
we don't.
Okay.
We don't.
We're assuming.
No, we're not.
Yeah,
we're assuming. I think he probably was like, "Listen, I would like to buy you a hot tub. Pick out the best one. How many jets you want? Double them. I'm Billy Corgan."
Well,
I think
hope
that
you're right.
Happened.
Yeah.
Some birthdays for you. John Grisham. He writes a lot of books. Nick Nolte, he acts in a lot of movies. Seth Green, Cecily Strong, Anderson .Paak, and John Williams.
Right? Suck it, Hans Zimmer.
Do you think, though, that Hans Zimmer is like, "Why am I not John Williams?"
He's done a lot.
Like, as prolific and
he's
as wonderful as
himself.
He is.
Yeah.
There's got to be a little jealousy, right?
No, I think Zimmer lives in a world where Hans Zimmer is better than John Williams.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he's not.
No,
at all.
He's living in that world.
Yes. As a guy who saw his Coachella set,
yeah,
I have a pretty good feeling he...
he loves him some
top
Zimmer?
Of the heap, yeah.
Okay, got it. If it ain't
It sold 65 million albums, you guys. Alicia Keys, the host of the Grammys this week, and she's on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now.
How you doing?
Hello. Hey. Alicia, how are you?
Hi, guys. I'm good. How you doing?
Very good. Well, we don't have the pressure of hosting the Grammys on Sunday, so we're actually doing pretty great. We're just looking forward to kicking back and watching. How are you feeling?
Oh, my gosh. First of all, I'm so excited that you're going to watch. I'm so excited for everyone to watch. And I'm actually feeling kind of excellent. I'm really loving the tone and the energy that we've been working on and bringing. It's all about a celebration of music and our diversity and our beautiful differences. And I just love the, you know, it's just going to be so fun. I feel so excited to bring just a light, like a good vibe. So if that's what it's going to be. And it's going to be really, I think, the best Grammys yet.
There you go.
If I can say that.
Sure.
Yeah.
So many of the other shows go with comedians. And I think a lot of people were surprised to see your name come up because we've been used to James Corden the past couple of years. But let's remember the Grammys has a long history, not only of Queen Latifah, but of LL Cool J, but of Kenny Rogers back in the day, people like John Denver. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's often been hosted by musicians.
Yeah, I think it actually creates maybe even a more connection, you know, a connection point, obviously, because I'm familiar with this stage, I'm familiar with kind of the energy in the building, and I think that will create something that will be even more special just because I relate, you know, and I think that's actually one of the things I'm thinking about a lot, which is you go to these things sometimes and, you know, let's be honest, they can sometimes be a little stuffy, you know?
Sure.
And I really want to make sure that it feels just so authentic, so genuine, so honest, you know, and just really represents who we are as people, celebrating each other's craft and, you know, the excitement of the way that music tells all of our story, you know? So I think that the people at home and the people in our building on Sunday are really going to feel connected more than they've ever felt. So I think it's the right way to switch it up and have an artist host, because it's like there's a relationship there.
Is there any nervousness on your part? You feel comfortable on stage, but it's a different thing.
Yeah, I feel a sense of excitement, you know, which I guess is a form of nervousness, just in the sense of really being, because I've literally never done this before.
Right.
So it's my first time. There's a bit of a mystery about it all. Like, how is it exactly going to go? And how is all the timing going to work out? And what if it ends up going too long, or someone else goes too long, and then we have to shorten another part, or what if something crazy happens that you can't control? Because the whole live thing is wow. Like,
oh, yeah.
Really gotta,
oh,
the timing is every ten down to the second.
Alicia, do you have a plan in case someone Kanye's and runs up on stage and says that someone else should have been the winner? You have to have a backup plan in case something crazy happens.
Do you know jiu-jitsu?
You're right.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you know, I do. I mean, I don't know karate, but I know crazy. So that's what's going to have to kick in.
Perfect.
We are talking to Alicia Keys, the host of the 61st Grammy Awards, airing this Sunday night at 5 o'clock on CBS. I wanted to ask you this. America has, I mean, obviously you're America's sweetheart, Alicia, and everybody loves you and loves your music and loves your vibe and loves your social media and loves you on
Thank
the voice and loves you on The Voice. But you seem like a person who is so positive that you're going to be crushed if people lose Grammys, like, because they can't all win. I mean, in every category, you're going to have a bunch of people who are sad, and I'm just wondering how you're going to stop from crying up there.
That's funny. That is definitely cute, and I do feel empathetic, you know, for people, because of course everybody's worked so hard all their life and sacrificed so much to be able to have an opportunity to be in this moment. So of course I would feel totally empathetic for those who weren't able to take home an award, but I think it's bigger than that, you know, I really do, and that's the exciting part, and that's kind of the energy I want to bring overall, just as a music community and as music lovers across the world, like, we just want to celebrate the fact that we get to share in this universal language, you know, and that's the vibe. So I'll keep it positive. I'll pump them up, you know what I mean? I'll keep them feeling good.
You've won 15 Grammys. Do you remember the first one?
I will never forget the first time ever. It is seared in my brain like a sword. I mean, it is so strong. And I just remember, first of all, I felt like I was literally dropped onto planet Mars. Like, I didn't know where I was. All I knew was it's like I was sucked inside of the TV on the opposite side that I normally watched. And then I started seeing all of these people whom I just normally watched on television or at some show, and they were saying my name, and hey, Alicia, and congratulations. And I was like, whoa, where am I, and how did I get here? It was somewhere between a dream and another planet. And on top of it, I was sick. Oh. I'll never forget that I was actually sick, bad, couldn't sing, almost couldn't sing. And I had to sing like those big falling notes and everything. So I was kind of terrified, but I worked it out. We worked through it. And obviously it ended up being one of the most memorable nights of my life. But I was definitely so confused about just what was happening. It was, you know, a
just
whirlwind.
Too much to get your head around it.
Magic, yeah. Final question for me, Alicia Keys, and that is, it seems like perfect synchronicity to have you as the host of the Grammys this year, because in many ways it feels like the year of the women in the world, but especially with the Grammy nominations and the artists that you guys have picked to perform on the show this year, there are so many from, you know, St. Vincent and Dua Lipa to Kacey Musgraves to Katy Perry to Maren Morris to, you know, her to Janelle Monáe. It just seems like such a huge year for ladies in music.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I think it's been long overdue. And I'm definitely excited. That's one of the other reasons why, you know, I wanted to do this, because I want to be able to celebrate the amazing, deserving women and creatives that are completely, you know, unique and one of a kind, and completely create their own content. We're our own producers, our own writers, our own, you know, our own conceptualizers, and I think that really, really deserves to be recognized and celebrated. So you are exactly right. I think that's a reflection of what's happening in the world and the repurposing and the rebalancing that's needed. And I'm very, very excited to bring that, you know, to just bring that light and to lift up these incredible artists on that night, especially the young women.
When Sunday goes well, would you consider hosting the Oscars? No.
They may make you host the Oscars. You know, that's a danger if you're too good, right? They may force you to do it.
How about the Hero Dog Awards over at the Lifetime Network? Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Hero Dog Awards over Lifetime Network, I'm there.
Love it.
Alicia, you're very kind to come on with us today. You're going to have a great time, and we are too, watching this Sunday night at 5 on CBS from the Staples Center of the 61st Annual Grammy Awards. Have a great time. Thanks for joining us.
Blessings. Talk to you soon.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Do you like pasta? Oh. It's a follow-up question. All right, there's your host. How'd you like to be in the audience at Staples Center this Sunday night? We are looking for you at 1-800-520-1067. This is the first of two pairs of tickets we are giving away to this event Sunday night. We got another one in less than 1 hour from right now. But if you want to win yours, what are we looking for this time around, Jensen? Just people who kind of know their Grammys?
Yeah, if you think you know who's won a Grammy, that's it.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game, get you in the house. One of the most fascinating stories of the year is Jeff Bezos being blackmailed by the National Enquirer. We'll talk about that coming up in about 50 minutes or so here on the Kevin Amin Show. First, though, I can't believe it. We have tickets for you to be in the audience to see the Grammys, not on on television, but in person this Sunday night at Staples Center.
Crazy.
We're giving them away right now. And again, in an hour, another pair of tickets. This game is called Who Got the Grammy?
Omar does not have a Grammy.
Sexy.
What?
What just happened?
We're just listening to sexy Omar.
Here's your host, Jensen Karp.
Hi, everybody. I'm going to list two artists, and you're going to tell me which of the two has a Grammy. Now, this is a regular living Grammy, not a lifetime achievement Grammy that they give you after you're dead.
This is in competition.
Correct. A competitive Grammy. I give you two artists. You tell me which one has a Grammy.
So one doesn't have any. It's not a thing of having more.
Correct.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Curious. Mm-hmm. Jensen looked at me like I was dumb, and Bean said, oh, okay.
Well, that's good information to know. Yeah.
He was right.
Thank you.
That's a good question.
Veronica, good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Veronica. Good luck here. Which one of these two artists has a competitive Grammy? Jimi Hendrix or the disco band A Taste of Honey?
Oh, shit.
Shoot, you mean? I think I heard Oh, Shoot.
I
want to say A Taste of Honey.
You got it. A Taste of Honey did win Best New Artist at the Grammys. Jimi Hendrix never won one.
Oh, dear.
Insane.
Because he's a hack.
Yeah, they sang, what, a boogie, oogie, oogie. So obviously they deserve that Grammy.
Hang on, Veronica. Thank you.
And by the way, you'll love this. Among the artists they beat for the Best New Artist Grammy that year were Elvis Costello and The Cars.
Oh, how weird. Her name's Veronica.
Nice. I thought of that, too, how weird that was. Huh. All right, who's next, please?
Next is Malin. Good morning.
All right, good morning.
Hi, Malin. Who, out of these two artists, and both of them true reggae to me, which one of these two won a Grammy? Bob Marley or the Baha Men?
Bob Marley.
No, I'm sorry. Bob Marley never won a competitive Grammy.
What?
The Baha Men won Best Dance Recording for Who Let the Dogs Out?
What? That is a travesty.
That is.
The Grammys have a lot of embarrassments in their past, by the way. But they are trying really hard to get better.
Yeah. We're playing...
Who got the Grammy?
Julia in Long Beach. Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Julia. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Michael J. Fox or Depeche Mode?
Michael J. Fox?
What the heck?
What?
Did Michael J. Fox win a competitive Grammy or Depeche Mode?
Why are you so difficult? Michael J. Fox?
Yes, he did win a Grammy.
Oh my God.
Why would you guess that?
For spoken word, Depeche Mode never won a competitive Grammy.
That's some nonsense.
Sorry about that. I mean, to Depeche Mode, not to Julia. She's a winner.
Veronica and Julia both still in the running to win tickets to be in the Grammys in person this Sunday night. Who's our next contestant?
Next up is Jose from La Puente. Good morning, Jose.
Good morning,
Jose.
Party people.
Yes. Jose, who got a Grammy? Is it Tia Carrere or Diana Ross?
I've never even heard of Tia Carrere, so I'm going to go with Tia Carrere.
It's Tia Carrere. You know her from Wayne's World. Come on. She's won two Grammys.
No.
Both for Best Hawaiian Music Album. Diana
That's
Ross.
That's a thing?
Yes. Diana Ross has zero.
That is.
Yeah.
Unacceptable that Diana Ross, one of the most successful singers of all time, has never won a Grammy.
Well, she has a lifetime, but we know that that's just a makeup. But she has never won a competitive Grammy.
Who got the Grammy?
I'm feeling ill.
Let's go to Kathy.
This game is killing me.
Hey, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi, Kathy. Who's got a Grammy? Zach Braff or Guns N' Roses?
I'm going to say Guns N' Roses.
Oh, I'm sorry. Zach Braff got a Grammy for compiling his Garden State soundtrack and making every idiot I know like the Shins. But Guns N' Roses has no Grammy. Sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
That seems wrong, Jensen.
That's right.
Who got the Grammy?
Let's go to Fanny in Whittier. Good morning, Fanny.
Hi, good morning.
Hi. Okay, who's got a Grammy? Shaggy or Run DMC?
Oh, shoot. Shaggy
did win Best Reggae Album. Run DMC never won a Grammy.
That's crazy.
All right, time for one more. She goes in the hopper. Here's our final contestant.
And it's going to be Maria from La Puente. Hi. I'm sorry, Mark.
Mark.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, Mark.
Hello.
Hi,
Mark. Okay, who won a Grammy and who doesn't have one? Here we go. Remember, this is for competitive Grammy only. Elmo the Muppet or Queen?
That's some nonsense.
You guys always make them so hard, but you guys always pick the ones that I mess up. I would say it is Queen.
No, I'm sorry. Elmo the Muppet.
Mark! You just talked yourself
You thought it. Through it perfectly and then gave the wrong answer.
Elmo the Muppet won Best Musical Album for Children. Queen, lifetime achievement, but no competitive.
That's unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah, his logic was flawed there. Veronica, Julia, Jose, and Fanny all in the running. Only one will win this hour's pair of tickets for the 61st Annual Grammy Awards this Sunday night on CBS. You'll be there in person at Staples Center. Who's our winner, please?
I'm glad she won because her name's Fanny.
Fanny.
You know?
Oh, ouch.
Wow.
Ouch. Congrats, Fanny.
Same.
Who got
the Grammy?
Sexy.
Kevin, I can't remember. I get confused.
you do or do not watch the news? I can't remember which one you are.
I mean, in general.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
Okay, that's right. You're the one who doesn't watch the news.
Right.
Are you?
By the way, I just like to say, I don't know how you people, anybody that watches the news a lot, can function.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's so depressing and angry.
I'll tell you, I can answer that question.
Okay, go.
Because as bad as the news is most days, some days you wake up and you see the headline, "No thank you, Mr. Pecker." And that makes everything worthwhile. It's worth paying attention because of "No thank you, Mr. Pecker." Now, do you know what that's a reference to?
I do not.
Jeff Bezos yesterday put up a post, curiously, on Medium.com instead of on the Washington Post website, which is the newspaper he owns. What happened, Kevin, is that he was... legal opinions vary, but he was either blackmailed or extorted or whatever word you want to use by AMI, which is the parent company of the National Enquirer, led by David Pecker. That's the "No thank you, Mr. Pecker." They wrote to him and said, if you don't back off from investigating the National Enquirer and trying to make it look like we are politically motivated with these stories that, by the way, we already know that they have a catch and release policy with Trump stories. If you don't back off, we are going to post all sorts of incriminating stuff that we hacked from your text messages with your mistress.
What?
Yes. Selfies and sexy talk. And this whole thing is so confusing to me for so many reasons, not the least of which is it's already widely known and acknowledged that he had this mistress. He and his wife have already separated and started the divorce proceedings. So it's not like this is breaking news that he cheated on his wife, okay? His wife's already walked away with a $500 million or whatever it is. And I guess I was also just thinking so much about this yesterday. Is it smart or dumb to try to blackmail the richest man in the world? Smart because
stupid.
He has money, but stupid because there's no way you can ever match him dollar for dollar in fighting back, right?
No. So dumb.
And
this
it's funny
is the dumbest.
And it's funny enough because his defense is $0.
Like
the thing he put up on Medium.com is free to him. Like
right.
He obviously had attorneys and stuff look it over.
Mm-hmm.
But like he didn't go to court to fight back. He didn't do anything. He just posted the emails.
And how are you going to put blackmail in emails?
Yeah.
Like, don't you do it differently?
It's insane.
Yes. That's one opinion a lot of people said yesterday is, what attorney would allow this to be in writing?
Right.
Yeah. That's craziness.
I guess they thought the cover was that Bezos would be so embarrassed or whatever that he would never let it get out that this had happened, right?
I like that they just threw out, we hacked your texts and we have them all. And then they just moved on as if that's not something.
And then the other thing that's crazy is they describe each photo.
And by the way, let me just say this about that. Jeff Bezos is ripped. Like, how do you embarrass that dude if he's standing around with his shirt off?
Yeah, he's very
and
buff.
Apparently, from what I've read,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
He's got nothing to be ashamed
he
of.
He is well endowed. He's got a big penis, is what I'm saying.
No, we understand.
It's
we
apparently
understand.
Huge, right?
Yeah, we got that, yeah.
I don't know if you...
Here's the note. I'm leaving the office for the night. I will be, again, this is coming from the National Enquirer attorney. I am leaving the office for the night. I will be available on my cell. Here's the number. However, in the interest of expediting the situation and with the Washington Post poised to publish unsubstantiated rumors of the National Enquirer's initial report, I want to describe to you the photos obtained during our news gathering. In addition to the below-the-belt selfie, otherwise colloquially known as a D-pic, the Enquirer obtained further 9 images that include Mr. Bezos' face selfie at what appears to be a business meeting. Oh, my God!
Not
what if we
meeting.
See that?
What?
Oh,
God!
I'll never buy from Amazon again!
Ms. Sanchez's response, that's Lauren Sanchez, former news anchor here in Southern California, who is the mistress, now girlfriend. A photograph of her smoking a cigar in what appears to be a simulated oral sex scene. That's very Lewinsky-esque, isn't it?
Sure.
Big, fat, juicy pickles.
Or is she just smoking a cigar? I don't know. A shirtless Mr. Bezos holding his phone in his left hand while wearing his wedding ring. He's wearing either tight black cargo pants or shorts, and his semi-erect manhood is penetrating the zipper of said garment.
I'd be more embarrassed by the cargo pants.
And by the way, they make a point of mentioning his wedding ring. That's their point, is they're saying, oh, he was cheating on his wife, which we already all know.
Right.
I mean, if it's already out there, how is this blackmail material? A full-length body selfie of Mr. Bezos wearing just a pair of tight black boxer briefs or trunks with his phone in his left hand while wearing his wedding ring. A selfie of Mr. Bezos fully clothed. A full length and Allie's just mad because he's fully clothed. A full length, scantily clad body shot with short trunks. A naked selfie in a bathroom while wearing his wedding ring. Mr. Bezos is wearing nothing but a white towel, and the top of his pubic region can be seen. By the way, if I looked as good as Bezos does, I would do nothing but post pictures like that.
Just walk around like that all day, every day.
Miss Sanchez wearing...
Oh, yeah, I'm just going... Yeah. Yo, you guys, please put them out.
Miss Sanchez wearing a plunging red neckline dress, revealing her cleavage and a glimpse of her nether region. Miss Sanchez wearing a two-piece red bikini with gold detail dress, revealing her cleavage. It would give no editor pleasure to send this email. I hope common sense can prevail and quickly. Well, guess what? It didn't. So Bezos fighting back on this.
I mean, I didn't hear anything that was very bad, except for the D pic.
And that's not bad. If you're sending that to your girlfriend, you got every right to do that, right?
Sure.
Right. I mean, it's not great for the wife, but I'm just...
Well, and when this all came out, there was talk of everybody in this situation being separated at the time.
That's what I thought.
Yes, so, that's what I had heard as well. Yeah. But that did come out later. So basically, I think the blackmail is like, we have the biggest businessman in the world cheating. I think that's it.
Right.
Well, I think it's a... I mean, I could be completely wrong. I don't know legal stuff. To me, this was a baller move that he kind of came out with that.
That's the greatest.
Oh, there were no... Oh, sorry. Listen, I spent a good chunk of my day thinking Jeff Bezos, A, the richest man in the world.
Right.
B, great body. Uh-huh. C, huge nether region. Right. Like, how blessed can one man be? Right. Enough. Spread it around. Let me see a pic, is what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
I
want to
see a pic.
All right, well, we'll keep our eye on that story. It is fascinating stuff.
Just one picture.
See, Kevin, now you see why watching the news pays off.
But
that's good stuff.
I learned it without watching the news, so.
Well, I can't argue with that.
One of the 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Were you lost in your own thoughts there, Kevin?
I had my mic on, but down.
Yeah.
So then I started talking, and no one could hear.
Do you think people think we fake these?
Yeah.
Why would...
Yeah.
Why
would... They think we fake it because there's no way this could possibly happen as often
every day.
No,
it happened. Hey, guys, it is a Kevin and Bean Book Club Friday, and I think you know the only author we ever have on is Brad Meltzer, so he'll be back coming up just after 8 talking about his new book, I Am Billie Jean King, who I think is who the Michael Jackson song was about, right?
Do
I
have that
right?
Yes. I don't think so. I don't think
we'll learn it at all.
He was the king of pop, Billie Jean King.
I don't think
that's... No. We'll learn who this fictional Billie Jean person is when we talk to Brad coming up right after the top of the hour. Then Grammys tickets for you next half hour as well. First, Allie's here with a very special What's Happening.
Although it could be Billie Jean King because she was not his lover. This we know, right?
Okay. All right.
Are we going to continue this?
I'm with you.
No, there's no need.
How long can the file be?
All right.
Says the guy who left his mic off.
Right? So, you guys, this time of morning on Friday, we'd like to do a segment called That's My Jam. Yeah, bitch. It is our soundtrack to what we're into at the moment. It could be something that we just found out about. It could be something that we forgot about and we're like, hey, I forgot about that song. I love it. That's my jam. So every member of the Kevin and Bean Show adds each week to the That's My Jam playlist. If you go to @ Kevin and Bean on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, you will find the playlist, and you're going to have new music every single week from each of us. Let's start off first with Kevin.
Mine is Grandson. He is an artist that moved from Toronto here and just started a solo career. He came out with Mike Shinoda at Acoustic Christmas. He had one EP called A Modern Day Tragedy, Volume 1, and he's working on a second one that I believe is coming out in February. And this is the song, first song from that one, the upcoming one, and it's called Apologize. And they say they love me at dusk, but at dawn I pack up my things.
Right? All right.
That is very K-Rock friendly.
Yep.
There you go. Way to go, Kevin.
Thanks.
Good choice.
I don't like when people act surprised that I came up with a good one.
All right. Next up is Bean.
I don't think mine is very K-Rock friendly, but I love this song, and Allie, I know you do too.
Mm-hmm.
Jensen, you've probably been familiar with Lizzo longer than the rest of us because she was in a number of pretty successful indie hip-hop groups in the last few years.
I wouldn't know her from that. I know her from that one song she put out like last year.
The one, Truth Hurts?
Emojis.
Good as Hell?
Keep going.
Good as Hell was in the Barbershop movie. That kind of launched her to the mass public. But she is back with a new song. I love it. Her real name is Melissa Jefferson. She goes by Lizzo, though. This song is a bop, you guys.
The song I'm thinking about is called Phone. But she is everywhere right now.
Yeah, she's blowing up big, and she's somebody you definitely need to know about. Lizzo is the artist. The song is called Juice.
No, I'm not a snack at all. Look, baby, on the whole day. If I'm shining, everybody wanna shine. I was born like this, don't even gotta try. I like shouting, they get better over time. Heard you say I'm not the baddest bitch you like.
Sometimes I can't help how funky I am.
Yeah,
there's,
right.
There's nothing I can do about it. I just, like Kevin, I dance or die, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why that's my pick.
That's fantastic.
That is a song that you put on as you're getting ready to go out and you are just feeling yourself. Like, that is the song. So I understand why Bean picked it.
Right?
As he's getting ready, doing his hair. Yeah, it's good stuff. I love her so much. Jensen.
Also not K-Rock friendly, but boy, this should go right to your soul. Marvin Gaye, after What's Going On, the album everybody knows, was going to follow it up with a socially conscious record called You're the Man. Motown ended up shelving it. Supposedly, Marvin Gaye had said it was because of him and Berry Gordy having different political views. But now, decades later, just days before his 80th birthday, Motown is going to put out the album in its entirety on March 29th. Now,
right.
Most of these records have been extreme rarities. 15 of the 17 have never been released on vinyl. They've got Salaam Remy to come in and mix down some of these albums. He's from the Fugees, and Mark Ronson and Amy Winehouse. He's incredible. But the first single's already out. It's called My Last Chance. This is one of the ones that Salaam Remy remixed. And here it is.
Oh, babe. That's how you feel. My love is real. For you. Oh, babe. Yeah. Hey, baby. Dance with me.
Guys, I gotta go make a baby. I'll be right back. Oh, my Lord.
That's for Montebello. That's for Whittier Boulevard, guys.
Thanks, Art.
I did not, when I woke up this morning, think I would get a new Marvin Gaye song.
It's great.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I am pregnant. That was real good, you guys. My song comes from a guy named Benny Sings, and I am late to the game on him. I started liking him in 2016 when I saw him in an NPR Tiny Desk concert, because I just love those. They're some of my favorite things. But he did a song that I love called Beach House, and didn't know that before that, he put out like 4 studio albums. So sorry about that, Benny Sings. But this song is the first single off of his forthcoming album called City Pop, due out on February 22nd on Stone's Throw Records. We all know about yacht rock, you know, that sound of yacht rock.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. He's being described as future yacht, which I didn't even know was a thing.
The yachts are flying.
But I'm into it. It's more like yacht, but poppy, I guess. But this is Benny Sings with Not Enough.
Baby. Thank you.
right.
Oh, I dig him.
You're pregnant with twins.
Right? He's a Dutch pop artist, Bean. I thought you'd like that.
Yeah, I do. Very good.
Stone's Throw started as an underground rap label, then put out Mayor Hawthorne and Jay Dilla and all those things. So this fits right into that genre.
By the way, co-wrote and co-produced with Mayor Hawthorne.
There you go.
There you have it, who I love. I can't believe K-Rock didn't play more Mayor Hawthorne coming up. Dude rules. Who's with me? Right?
Where can we find these songs,
J-Rock on Stone's Throw, he kills. Oh, don't get me started on Stone's Throw. Remember the shows they
would
do?
Ask again, Bean. I don't think she heard.
The DJ.
Where can our listeners find this playlist, Allie?
Oh, you can find it at Kevin and Bean on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. It's our That's My Jam playlist. Just click follow and you can get more. Like if you want to hear more from Stone's Throw Records.
Right.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
They just used to do these shows. Allo Black would do a bunch of shows. It was fun back in the day.
They're from Canada.
I'm cutting out.
What?
All right. Birthdays for you.
I don't know what's happening.
John Grisham, Nick Nolte, Seth Green, Cecily Strong, Anderson .Paak, John Williams.
I'm furious right now, by the way.
Furious?
You may have to talk to Brad without me. I don't know if I can go on.
Oh, no.
Furious about what?
Just breaking news here. New Hampshire's highest court has upheld the conviction of three women arrested for going topless on a beach, saying the ordinance doesn't discriminate on the basis of gender or violate the women's right to free speech. What kind of a country are we living in where we're arresting and convicting women for wanting to walk around topless? I don't recognize this country anymore.
Does this feel on topic to you?
I am furious right now.
Okay. I'm furious. Brad has to listen to this,
right?
Quite frankly.
I'm not even sure he's still on the phone.
I'd hang up.
Can I just tell you, I just can't wait for the segue of how you're going to go from that topless to Billie Jean King.
And speaking of children's books.
Right.
Hey, Brad, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
That, by the way, that is the best transition of all time.
Sure. Thank you very much. You know, I was, I'm always inspired by your choices because you pick, as you've explained to us on the air before, you pick heroes and heroines for young people, real role models that they should look up to. And, you know, I wasn't surprised by the Jackie Robinson and the Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King and some of the ones, George Washington, that you might expect. But you kind of surprised me a little bit with Billie Jean King, and a lot of people will think, oh, well, she's a tennis player. What does that have to do with being a good role model? You want to explain how you chose her?
Yeah, you know, for me, I have a son and a daughter, and my son believes one thing about sports, because he loves sports, and that is he says boys are better than girls, they're stronger than girls, and that's the way the world is. And so writing I Am Billie Jean King is just sweet revenge for my daughter. That's why I did it. You know, and but the truth was, it's a book that's, you know, we all think of Billie Jean King as a tennis player. We don't realize when she was the number one tennis player in the whole world, she was being paid a fraction of what the men champion were getting. They were paying the men's, one Wimbledon, you got like $4,000. She got like $1,800.
Wow, that's crazy.
And she basically was like, this is nonsense. You cannot pay women less than men. And she had this, you know, incredible way to fight for this throughout her whole career. So she, and of course it culminates in the Battle of the Sexes, where you have, you know, her going against Bobby Riggs. But what I need to show my daughter is that she doesn't just win because she's a good tennis player or Bobby Riggs is a little older. She wins because she puts in the hard work. She puts in the time. She studies his game and realizes, you know, in the Astrodome where they're going to play, where she's going to be watched by more than most Super Bowls. She basically realizes he loves to hit up in the lights because they got a white roof in the Astrodome. So she starts practicing 150 shots over and over. Hit it above me, hit it up. That's where he's going to do it. And she figures out his game and beats him at it. And the best moment, and Billie Jean King gave me this moment. She actually called us up when we were working on the book. Right the night before the Battle of the Sexes, where she's playing the man, you know, men versus women, who's going to be better at tennis, one of the greatest matches of all time. She calls her brother and says, take all your money, whatever you got, and put it on me.
Oh, I love that.
And she just calls the shot, which I love.
That's fantastic. I got to tell you, I learned so much from reading this book. I mean, it really isn't just for kids.
Mm-mm.
It's amazing.
No, and listen, I got to be honest. Like, I also did it because, you know, my Aunt Debbie, for every gay and lesbian couple out there, anyone who has a gay and lesbian member of their family, that entire community needed a hero too. And she's it. And I remember, you know, Billie Jean King, when I do I Am George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, if I mess up their books, what are they going to do to me?
Right. Right.
But we get a phone call from Billie Jean King and they say, Billie Jean wants to talk to you. And I'm like, Uh-oh. Oh, no, you know, you don't want that call. because she's going to come to your house. You messed it up with a tennis racket.
Right.
And she calls us up, and she's so lovely, so amazing, and we're going through every detail. But, you know, one of my favorite ones is she says, you know, in this scene here, I wasn't in this spot when this happened. I was in another spot. And I said to her, I hate to say it, but I got that from your autobiography. And she's like, yeah, but I didn't have time to proof that back then. I was so busy. And I love that now I Am Billie Jean King is more accurate than her own autobiography.
Amazing. But
I was just going to say the best part is that part where we have to say, you know, that she's gay. And I'm sitting there on the phone with a living legend, Billie Jean King, and trying to figure out how do we convey this in a children's book so that kids out there and parents out there can realize that this is absolutely a wonderful thing to talk about. It's okay. There's no stigma. And to be able to sit on the phone and craft the language perfectly for her is one of the most humbling moments of my life.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's wonderful.
I love, first of all, I love the whole book, but the part where it shows a little 8-year-old girl and her little sister at one of the tennis clinics that she would do for World Team Tennis. And they're introducing themselves to Billie Jean King, and they said, our dad saw you play on TV and decided that his daughter should play tennis too. And she says, nice to meet you, Venus and Serena.
Come on.
I mean, you're like, are you kidding me? You have inner city tennis kids, and that's where they start? And
that's amazing.
She gave me that detail. I never had that detail on the phone with me. She, you know, we had heard that Venus was there. She's like, no, Serena was there too. And I'm like, no one even knows that.
Unreal.
And she's the one who's telling me this so I can put it in the book. It's bananas.
That's amazing. Hey, Brad Meltzer, our friend Brad Meltzer on the phone. It is Kevin and Bean Book Club Friday. We're talking about his latest book available everywhere just this week called I Am Billie Jean King, including Cracker Barrel, by the way. You can buy Brad's books at Cracker Barrel. I found
that
on a recent trip. Did you watch the Steve Carell, Emma Stone movie about the Battle of the Sexes tennis match? And if so, what'd you think?
Yeah, no, I watched it after I wrote the book. I never wanted to influence. My buddy worked on the movie and works with Emma Stone. And, you know, listen, obviously that's the fictional version of the real story, and it has moments where they take leaps and jumps, but I actually liked the movie a lot. I thought the movie was really fun.
Yeah, I thought Emma Stone
was
terrific.
The hard part is once you meet the real Billie Jean King, you know, it's like saying, you know, having anyone play her is just an impossibility. She's a legend.
Yeah. So, Brad, now that you did the Sonia Sotomayor and you got to speak with her about it, and now the Billie Jean King, is this series just going to turn into who does Brad want to meet? Like, what crushes does he have? Is the next one going to be I Am Claudia Schiffer? I mean, where are we going with this?
Yeah, no. 100, that's all I'm doing is trying to go meet people that I want to meet. And so, my hope is then, especially when we do a dead person, I want to meet them too.
Sure. Yeah. I Am Billie Jean King. We have heard from so many listeners every time we have Brad on. They go out and get the book we're talking about, and then they end up getting them all because they are wonderful for kids, and as Kevin mentioned, for adults as well. Get it at Amazon.com, at all book retailers as well. Great to chat with you, sir. As always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on.
Listen, love you guys.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it. All right, you guys ready to give away some Grammy tickets?
Sure.
Hard to believe the Grammys are this weekend, Sunday night at Staples Center, 61st Annual Grammy Awards. Last hour we gave away a pair. We're going to do it again this time around. If you want to play a game to win your tickets to see the Grammys in person, call us 1-800-520-1067. I have to applaud you, Kevin, because nothing captures the excitement of this weekend's Grammy Awards like playing Lit right
Woo!
Before we give away the tickets, right?
Multiple
right?
Grammy winner.
Woo-hoo! Can't buy them, but you can win them right now from the Kevin and Bean Show. In person, you'll be at Staples Center for the 61st Annual Grammy Awards, airing this Sunday night on CBS. If you can get past Total Recall.
Total Recall, that's the game that we play. If you want tickets to the Grammys on Sunday. Oh, yeah. Total Recall, the Grammys on a Sunday. That's what you will win. All you have to do is recall.
Give you the category. All you have to do is name for me three items in that category within 10 seconds. If you do it, you are in the drawing to win the tickets for the Grammys. It's as simple as that. Who's up first?
Valerie in La Puente. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Valerie. You ready to play the game? You sound tentative so far.
Yes.
Okay. Listen up. 21 Pilots is nominated this Sunday for the Best Rock Song Grammy for their song Jumpsuit, which you have heard many times here on K-Rock. Speaking of pilots, can you name me three airlines in 10 seconds? Any three companies that you can buy a passenger seat on and take a flight? Go ahead.
Delta, Hawaiian, Alaska.
Yeah, there you go. As simple as that. You are in the drawing. Well done, Valerie.
All right, you hold on. Let's go to Jimmy in Boca. What? Is...
what? Good morning.
Oh. Hey, Jimmy.
Rancho Cucamonga, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Here's your question, Total Recall. Black Panther has already made history by being the first superhero movie to be nominated for the Best Picture Oscar this year, and its soundtrack is also up for the Best Album Statue. Although Black Panther is one of the most popular films ever, it is far from alone in making hundreds of millions of dollars along with other Marvel Cinematic Universe films. I want you to name for me three other Marvel Cinematic Universe films. Full titles, please. Good luck.
Spider-Man, Captain America, Doctor Strange.
That's three.
But technically, Captain America, none of those are called Captain America. I was looking for full titles. Oh, you want to give
Spider-Man
it to him?
Spider-Man isn't technically either.
I think the first Spider-Man is Spider-Man.
Spider-Man Homecoming is the name of that movie.
Right.
Captain America, the First Avenger, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, Captain America, Civil War are the names of those movies. Hmm. So I'm going to say no, you guys.
So the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man is not part of this universe.
Not part of the Marvel universe, right. I think I would have gone with Iron Man 2, and Iron Man 3 if I were playing the game. But
right, take it easy.
You did the best you could. Thank you for the call.
let's go to Michelle in Irvine. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Michelle, we're playing Total Recall for Grammys tickets. There is no such thing as the rumored Best New Artist curse at the Grammys, like a lot of people say, when you consider that artists like Mariah Carey, John Legend, Carrie Underwood have all won the prize. Another band that did okay for itself after winning that Grammy was called The Beatles. The Beatles won the Best New Artist Grammy. How can there be a curse? In 10 seconds, name for me any three Beatles songs. Three Beatles songs in 10 seconds.
Sergeant Pepper's, Imagine.
Sergeant Pepper's gone. I don't think that counts.
And Imagine is a John Lennon song. We were looking for...
You guys gave me a hard one.
The Beatles!
No, it's not.
The Beatles!
I love you, Michelle, and I'm hanging up.
I respect it, though. She's like, I am young.
Hey, Jude, Come Together, Strawberry Fields Forever, Let It Be. I mean,
all
there's
right.
a lot of
Don't
Beatles
show
songs
off.
People know. All right. Who's our next contestant?
Let's go to Alan in Pasadena. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
All right, Alan. You know your Beatles songs. Would you have been good with that one?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Unfortunately, yours is going to be much different. Childish
Gambino. I'm ready for that, too.
Oh, boy.
Well, then shut up.
Take
Childish
it easy.
Gambino is up for multiple awards at this year's Grammys for his smash song and video, This Is America. Speaking of America, I want you to name for me any of the three states along our northern border, three U.S. states that all touch Canada. Good luck.
Washington, Maine, Michigan.
Hey. Boy. Dude's a geography whiz.
Wow. 2 seconds.
Wow. Well done.
All right, Alan, hold on.
There are 13 states, by the way, in that category.
All right. Thanks for that info, B.
Shut up, nerd.
let's go to Gabriella from LBC. Hi there.
Hi. Good morning.
Gabriella, here's your question. Alicia Keys is not only a 15-time Grammy winner, but is the host of this year's show on CBS. Speaking of keys, name for me three things that you might unlock with an actual physical key. You might carry a key to open what? 10 seconds starts right now.
A chest, a lock, a car.
Oh, yeah. Man. So well close.
Done. Well done. You are in the drawing. Yeah, diary, drawer, padlock, your house. There's a lot of good ones. All right, we have time for just one more, I think.
All right, let's make it Alex in Los Angeles. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, guys.
All right, Alex, we're trying to get you in the running to win those tickets for the Grammys this Sunday. Some of the frequent names in the Best Reggae Album category show up again this year, like Ziggy Marley and Black Uhuru. But there's a first-time nominee duets album with Sting and Shaggy, their album called 44876. In 10 seconds, can you give me the three defenses that Shaggy would give if he were accused of three different crimes? What would he say to those three accusations? 10 seconds starts now.
I plead the fifth. I had no knowledge of that. And I need to speak to my attorney.
Those are outstanding guesses, but I'm sorry, we were looking for it wasn't me, it wasn't me,
see,
and it wasn't me.
I thought you were talking about like actual legal stuff, not
yeah.
about, like his song.
Mm.
Sorry, Alex.
It was a Shaggy joke. Okay. Thank you for playing. Thank you especially to Valerie, Allen, and Gabriella, all in the running to win the tickets to be there in person to see the Grammys this Sunday. But unfortunately, only one can win this hour. Who's that going
to
be?
Congratulations to Allen.
Allen. Let me get the right line before I... Hey, Allen, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Oh, my God.
Have a great time. Say hi to Alicia Keys for us.
And thanks, I will.
And thanks for playing the game.
Oh, yeah!
The most California band of all time?
Beach Boys.
Beach Boys, yeah. Mm. I was going to say Doors, but Beach Boys is even better.
Thanks,
sorry, Kevin, you lose that one. Sorry.
Damn, I lost quickly, too.
Hey, speaking of Blink-182, though, who is certainly one of the greatest California bands of all time, is it true that photo evidence now exists of Allie McKay's moment with where she asked the longest question ever interviewing Blink-182
yes.
at the Weenie Roast?
All right.
And
now
there's a picture of
I've
it.
I've never seen a person, a human being with a larger mouth.
Yeah, and
it's
that,
wide open.
Mesquita's looking at her like it's one of the most confusing experiences of his life.
Which it was.
Right yeah. here, guys. I can hear you.
It's fantastic.
Where can people see that photo of your moment with Allie?
The photo I put on my Instagram, which is at Allie McKay, A-L-L-I-E-M-A-C-K-A-Y. It's definitely a photo.
It's fantastic.
There's a lot happening in it. And poor Matt Skiba is just like, I don't know where to
I've
look.
I tried to track
it's
with
just,
you.
I don't know what's happening.
I think he was enjoying it greatly.
Oh, because, all I know.
Because you did admit going in that you had had a few drinks.
Right.
Yeah.
And when Mark Hoppus was here a couple weeks ago, and I apologized to him as I apologized to Travis Barker when he came in, Matt Hoppus's response was, no, you should definitely do that at every gathering. You should definitely keep that up. I'm like, Mark, no.
All right, we're going to post that photo on the at Kevin and Bean social media as well. Before we get into what's happening, it is that time of the week, though, where we give you the opportunity to pick any K-Rock song you love. If we have it, we'll play it. We call it Keep It 100, and these are some of the songs you have chosen in recent weeks.
When you call, when you text, and you give us a song, and then if you're texter 100, then mm-hmm. we play that song.
Yeah.
And you've had some pretty good taste in the past. And
really here's, have.
And here are some of them.
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
That was a great choice last week, The Living Color from Matt in Huntington Beach. So you want to be Texter 100 right now and give us your name, too, and we'll get back to you to make sure it's okay to call you to put you on the air. 1-800-520-1067. That is the number to text for Keep It 100. Allie's here now with another Friday. What's happening?
It's Friday.
Hold. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Kevin. Mm-hmm. Friday. I always enjoy when we get these articles that say, here's everywhere you can score deals for whatever the national day is that's coming up. So this one is, here's everywhere you can score deals for National Pizza Day, which is tomorrow. And the reason I love these is because you basically have to jump through hoops for all of these, is essentially what it is. Chuck E. Cheese, not so much. Chuck E. Cheese is celebrating the holiday by upgrading any large pizza to an extra large for free. You just have to ask for the National Pizza Day offer. Okay, simple. Domino's. You can score a large or pan-sized three-topping pizza for $7.99. But you've got to order online and then pick up at the store.
Ooh,
come on, Domino's.
Oops.
Pizza Hut. Grab any large Pizza Hut pizza for $10.99 when you use the promo code THANK YOU at checkout. But that's carry-out only. But... okay. Like, why? Why are you doing this? Why are you making us order things and then go in and pick them up? I want a pizza at my home. Who's
right.
with me?
Kevin! Get pizza! Pizza! That's what you want to hear.
That's what I'm saying. But you know who's making it very easy? Your place, Bean. IHOP.
Oh. Oh, what's IHOP doing?
IHOP is bringing something out called a pan pizza.
Oh.
Pankizzas are 7-inch individual-sized pancakes available in 3 flavors: original buttermilk, bacon and cheddar, and cupcake. They're going to be served in a pizza box with various syrups on the side. Here's why I say they're making it easy. Because they are available for delivery in select areas of L.A. on February 9th and 10th via DoorDash for $0 delivery fee.
Wow.
Thank you, IHOP. That's what I'm saying.
Kevin, I don't know if you go to IHOP very often.
I don't.
But I think you would love it because I've seen what you drink at Starbucks. The pancakes that people order around
chocolate chip pancakes. That's what I get every time.
They have a Belgian dark chocolate mousse pancake.
All right.
They have New York cheesecake pancakes. They have the new cupcake pancakes that Allie was just talking about. Vanilla spice pancakes. Red velvet pancakes.
Wow. Just goes, is the show over? I mean, can we go now?
I'm just, it's unbelievable. These people, they bring out this plate of what looks like the biggest dessert you've ever seen, and that's somebody's breakfast item.
Yummy.
Indeed.
I love
but
it.
But that's a great deal. The cupcake pancake delivered, no service fee. I love that.
Right. Yeah, they're doing it in select areas of Chicago, Dallas, New York, and L.A. So again, February 9th and 10th via DoorDash, $0 delivery fee. Get your pankizza to your door.
You just broke my heart that New Orleans wasn't on that list, by the way.
I'm really sorry about that.
I was going to have that here by the end of the show.
Sorry. Okay. This is a story for Kevin. Haagen-Dazs.
Oh,
they
yeah.
announced their new yeah. line. Did you talk about this
nope.
yesterday? This is just for you.
Okay.
New line of boozy ice cream.
Boozy.
It's called the Spirits Collection.
Okay.
It features 7 alcoholic ice cream options. Here are some of the flavors. Let me know what your interest is.
All right.
Irish cream brownie.
Yes.
Bourbon vanilla bean truffle.
Sure.
Rum tres leches.
Sure.
Bourbon praline pecan.
Sure.
Stout chocolate pretzel crunch.
Even more.
Kevin, are you an alcoholic?
Non-dairy amaretto black cherry almond toffee.
Oh, that sounds good, too.
That's a lot.
You got to get one of these drinks with one of those pancakes.
Right. <Yeah. laughs>
I think this one, though, this is all you. Irish cream ice cream cookie squares.
Oh, yep.
Chocolate cookies topped with Irish cream infused ice cream dipped in dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, please.
Currently, these flavors are rolling out nationwide. They won't be fully available until April, but how do we not have you as a tester for this?
Well, I'm in.
I mean, it speaks to you.
Right.
There you go.
I'm all about it.
All right. We talk often about how sometimes doing the Super Bowl is a really great thing for you because you see the streams of your music shoot up and people are more interested in you than ever. Well, in total, Maroon 5's entire catalog of songs climbed 38.3% in on-demand streams, which isn't as much as most people see, and definitely isn't as much as one particular song shot up in streams. This song shot up 566% in streams after it was only showed for 8 seconds.
Can I guess the song?
I like the way you move. That one?
No, I don't think that's. I think it's this.
How many shrimps do you have to eat before you make your skin turn pink? Eat too much and you'll get sick. Shrimps are pretty rich.
Oh, yeah. You gotta wait for the drop.
Best song ever.
Yeah.
That would have improved the halftime show.
Sure would.
That is a bop.
Sure
would. No, this song was played for only 8 seconds when they brought out Travis Scott, and he was introduced by an on-screen snippet of the Band Geeks episode of the animated series SpongeBob SquarePants. That song, 8 seconds of fanfare from the song Sweet Victory, jumping 566% in streams. You guys, it was shown behind someone for 8 seconds.
Yeah.
That's
really, should have played the whole thing.
Really sad.
Why are we not hearing that right now?
I don't think we have it.
All right, I think I have it here.
Okay.
Right. Why don't you yell at you then?
Santa Claus has that's, got the AIDS this year.
That's not.
That's
a terrible song.
No.
No, sir.
No, sir.
Sorry, I thought that was the SpongeBob.
I have it.
No.
I have it.
Okay, good. Yeah. I wish that was it, too. If they played that,
yeah.
right? I would have tuned in.
I got it.
Okay,
I just found it.
Oh, thank
I had
you.
To, I just searched for it.
Cool.
Got it, yeah.
This is mumble rap and mumbly. I'm all mumbles in the mumble loop.
I don't think that's it either, right? But I do have it.
Okay.
Oh, you
do? Yeah. Okay.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. This is getting dubbed now, so I will actually play the real.
Okay. Because we need to get to it.
And we do, because then we got to move on to keep it 100.
All right.
Somebody told me the world is gonna roll.
Right. That's not it either.
No.
Oh, really?
That's not
I'm sorry. That's mislabeled.
Imagine
I apologize.
If they did the halftime 1 year. It'd be so good.
I'd watch.
I wish they'd have done it this year.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, it'd be so good. Oh, that's it.
Just that part.
All right.
Back to you, Alex.
Some birthdays for you. Nick Nolte. Cecily Strong, Anderson Paak, Seth Green, John Grisham, and, oh my God, what a hero, John Williams.
Yeah, he's been great for a long time, you guys.
He's done a movie or two.
Yep. How old is he, Allie? In his 80s, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
That's a great song, you guys. That would have been a good Keep It 100. It's so good to hear that again, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Hey, every week at this time, we do it. We give you the opportunity to pick any song you want. If K-Rock's got it, we'll play it. We call it Keep It 100.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
I'ma keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
I'm going to just keep it a bean.
All right. Thank you, sir. Excellent choices again this week, including texture number 99 was the Violent Femmes Added Up, which would have sounded real good. It's got a great xylophone solo in it, if I recall. That's from Ian and Burbank.
That's a great piece of information.
And Dan out of West Hills wanted TV Party by the Great Black Flag, which I know would have made Chip's little punk rock heart so happy. But only one can be texture 100, and it is Renee, who joins us on the phone right now via Northridge.
Hey, Renee.
Hey, hi guys. How you doing today?
We are good. You?
Oh, you know, it's Friday. I figured I'd pick this song because, you know, time to party on and get down a little bit.
So we're partying on and we're getting down. It sounds like a lot.
Yeah, well,
I'm
tired. I got four kids, so, you know, I got to plug it all in. Really
holy crap. Now, Renee, this is a very important question I'm about to ask you. Where are you on the Fry-yay versus Friday debate? Do you mind Fry-yay?
Yeah, why not? It sounds fun, doesn't it?
Nope.
No, Renee.
Renee 2020.
Here's the thing. It sounds like somebody who doesn't have fun using a word to make it seem like they have
right.
fun.
Look, Renee's got four kids. He's had plenty of fun. Let's face it.
Exactly. That's why I picked this song, guys.
All right. Why don't you introduce it for us and all the other K-Rock listeners? What's your choice?
My choice today is Sneaker Pimp, Six Underground.
Great one. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening, Renee.
Keep it 100.
I got it.
party to that song, like Renee said?
No.
He was getting down.
Can you get down with that
Renee
song?
Renee was getting down to
He's
that song.
He's got four kids. You don't know what his type of party is.
You don't know his life.
You don't know what he's about.
By the way, a reminder that we do post the Keep It 100 song on KROQ.com every week, and we also have a playlist that you can access on Spotify with all the Keep It 100 songs. All right, Allie, here's where we play our game. Renee, his choice was Six Underground by the Sneaker Pimps. What year was that song a big hit here on KROQ?
That was mid-90s.
All right.
It doesn't sound like a year.
So 1996.
She wants credit. She's going to say 97 and 94, so she gets credit for all of
it. Sure. Actually, it was released in the UK in 96, did not become a hit here in the United States until 1997, so I can't really give it to you. It was made popular from the Saint movie and soundtrack.
That was what broke it. The Saint.
Well, that's what a lot of radio stations around the country started playing because it was on that soundtrack. And then it was also continued to remain on the radio because it was a key scene in Can't Hardly Wait when Jennifer Love Hewitt walks into that party.
Yes,
that's
yes.
what's playing there, which a lot of people
this
remember.
This is almost as boring as the song.
A great choice, and thank you to Renee for checking it out. We'll do it again next week on Keep It 100.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
I was just getting down to that song, you guys. I was just partying hard to that song, like my man Renee. Time for one final look at what's happening. Allie is here. It is Friday. What do you have for us?
Friday. Thank you.
It's like you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
How could I have?
You guys been keeping up with this Ariana Grande performing at the Grammy situation?
Yeah.
Ooh.
She's calling people liars.
It's not pretty. So apparently she was not allowed to perform Seven Rings during the show. Apparently producers refused to allow her to perform that. Then they offered a compromise where she'd perform the song as part of a medley, but they insisted that they chose the second song, and that's when she reportedly backed out. Well, Grammy's producer Ken Ehrlich said in an interview that Ariana, quote, felt it was too late for her to pull something together. And that's when Ariana Grande took to Twitter. And she said, I've kept my mouth shut, but now you're lying about me.
Why the f*** you lying? Why you always lying? Oh my God, stop f***ing lying.
She said, I can pull together a performance overnight, and you know that, Ken. It was when my creativity and self-expression was stifled by you that I decided not to attend. I hope the show is exactly what you want it to be and more.
Well, there is a long history of people wanting to do newer material on the Grammys, and the Grammys pushing back and saying, no, we want you to do the song that's nominated. That does happen almost every year.
Right.
But it usually gets resolved somehow, or somebody caves. It's rare that somebody makes a big public stink about it.
I feel like it's Ariana Grande. She's pretty much the biggest thing right now. Her album is out today.
Right.
You kind of bend to what she wants to do. Don't you think?
I think so. Yeah. I think she's a huge draw on television.
Yeah.
You get her on the show. If she wants to do the new song, let her do the new song.
She then said, this is her tweet, I offered three different songs. It's about collaboration. It's about feeling supported. It's about art and honesty, not politics. Not doing favors or playing games. It's just a game, y'all. And I'm sorry, but that's not what music is to me.
I'm Team Ponytail on this one.
100%. This Ken fellow seems to have some issues with women. I don't know. Remember in the past what everything that came up about...
Oh, Ken Ehrlich?
Yeah, him saying that, you know, women don't have basically enough songs, and that's why they're not winning the Grammys. Why they're not performing.
Was that someone else? Was that Portnoy who said that? Bean?
Neil Portnoy? Yeah.
I think he said that. And then he stepped down.
I can't be sure. Yeah.
Ehrlich is the producer director of the Grammys who... I don't know.
I take it back then. Yeah. He just has issues with this woman.
Yeah.
It's all very, just let her do a song. Don't you think that's going to bring more eyes in than...
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, she's given them three options also, which seems like the reasonable thing to do.
Absolutely. Well, Grammy producer Ken Ehrlich also is lamenting the show's inability...
I hate women.
Inability to even interest the genre's most widely recognized artists in performing, that genre being hip-hop. He's basically saying that they had offered performances to Childish Gambino, Drake, and Kendrick Lamar.
That would have been a good show.
Yeah, but they're just not interested. And here's his quote. He said, when they don't take home the big prize, the regard of the Academy and what the Grammys represent continues to be less meaningful to the hip-hop community, which is sad. That's not good.
It's not ideal.
In other words, what they're saying is the Grammys have disrespected hip-hop for so long that we're not going to go out of our way to do a favor for you. And this is happening at the same time where there's huge representation in nominations now on the Grammys. I mean, they're trying to make up for past mistakes, but it hasn't healed the rift yet.
Yeah, I mean, the first year they ever had the hip-hop award, they didn't even televise it, so no one went.
Yeah, Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff skipped the show because it wouldn't be televised. And then it went through all those years where really great rappers were losing to Macklemore.
Yeah, Eminem lost to Steely Dan.
Yeah, so I kind of get where hip hop's coming from on this. Maybe spread the love a little more.
I'm team ponytail on this one too. Then,
well, she's not part of this.
Oh,
but
I'm sorry.
Yeah, good stuff. Remember when Macklemore was winning everything?
I would rather Macklemore less.
Oh, I see what you did. Now, Jensen, this will be your first Valentine's Day as a married man.
Yes.
Are you feeling extra pressure on what to get, Danielle, or are you just like, all right, calm down, everybody?
That's a good question. I feel I've been a little nervous about my picks, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this is a very interesting survey from Bankrate. They found that men will spend, on average, $339 on their partners this year, while women will spend $64. Womp, womp. Here's an interesting thing. However, women also said that they only expect their partner to spend an average of $154 on their gifts. So we're getting some good stuff, right? While men wish their partners would shell out on average $211. We're just spending $64. So there's a big discrepancy there. But I don't know. Also, no offense, dudes, but as women, we could just, like, write out a little piece of paper like, hey, free BJ. And you guys are like, woo, best gift, right? I think we get off a little easy. What? We have it easier when it comes to Valentine's Day, my impression.
I've complained for years that Valentine's Day, like anniversaries, are a men buying gifts for women holiday. They're not, even though they claim to be representative of a couple's affection for one another.
Right.
That's not at all how it works in the real world.
Valentine's Day makes being angry every year. It does. It makes me angry. But every day is Valentine's Day. It means
exactly. So it doesn't apply to me. It doesn't affect me because every day is Valentine's Day at my house. But I'm saying for the poor schmucks who are still playing the game, it's not equal distribution. That's for sure.
Yeah. Did that
you
freak
love
out a
her
bit?
More? No. You love her more than she loves you. That's what I'm saying.
He's amped up. Is what I'm saying.
He's really going nuts. Do you know what you got? Did you get something already?
No. I have a plan.
Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Okay. No.
I hate surprises.
This is a very...
Your wife doesn't listen to the show, does she, Jess?
No.
Okay, good.
Oh, God, why
that's,
would she?
Believe me, look, as you're working with a couple of married guys here, that is a key survival tip.
Right. Don't listen to the show.
The less they listen to the show, the better.
I wonder if she listens in the car. Probably not.
I mean, Danielle, if you're listening...
Encourage
right now,
her not to.
Yeah. If you're listening... I got you a couple Blu-rays.
Tell her wherever
from your collection. Yeah.
Wherever she's driving, that she can't pick up K-Rock. You might be right.
Frequency
call
off.
Now.
Yeah. No, don't call.
Don't
please.
Call now. Okay.
Please don't call.
You guys, what have we become? We're making it easier now to drink chips. this is what I'm saying.
What?
So eating chips. It comes with the hazard of greasy or cheesy fingers, which is a huge problem, apparently.
I'm in now.
Oh, see?
You know
I knew you would be.
But you're speaking directly to me. Because you're right. Part of my OCD is food on hands.
Really?
And, Cheetos, nachos, all of those things. You're right.
Something weird, not to go off track, but my father loves Cheetos, the puffy ones.
Nightmares.
We
Cheetos hot little nightmares.
We gave him for Christmas one year a Cheeto towel that he would just use for the Cheetos.
Yeah.
That's speaking your language right there.
100%. Danielle recently went into the bathroom and said, why is there red all in this? And I said, I had Cheetos.
It's like a murder scene of Cheetos.
Yeah. When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy.
Right?
Yeah. I just love hot Cheetos! I love you so much!
Oh, those kids bring me joy. Well, here's the thing. There's a snack maker in Japan that has come up with a novel solution of drinkable chips. It's Tokyo-based company Koikeya. Sure. They call their creation one-hand chips, and they come in a variety of flavors. Here's not that kind of one-hand bane. The chips are pretty much splintered into super small pieces, and there's a bag that comes with a small opening on the top, like a bottle opening, so you just chug your chips.
What?
Do we need this? What have we become that chips are now so hard to eat as a human that we now need to drink our chips?
Well, what I'm saying is I thought you were going to... What I'd like to invent is some sort of chopstick that I can deal with the Cheeto, pull it out of the bag, and just eat it directly so I don't touch it. I don't need it in liquid. I just need something. Even if you make chip gloves, I'll probably wear them.
Yeah, these aren't liquid. I thought that when I saw drinkable chips.
You just pour it in a bowl and just use your mouth.
It's just literally chips, like, broken down into the smallest of pieces.
Yeah, well, what it sounds like is the people who, the bag is nearly empty, and they just dump whatever's left in the bottom of the bag into their gullet. That's what it sounds like this is. They're just smashing all of the chips into those tiny little pieces at the end.
When Cheetos made the white puffs, they were speaking to me.
The cheddar?
White cheddar. Yeah.
Because you're racist.
No. Bean.
Puffs got to be white. I get it.
No.
But you still get
It sounds racist.
The residual on your fingers.
Yeah,
it's
but
just
white,
not
it doesn't
colored.
Play out. Does, yeah, it doesn't play out.
Mm. If you're white.
You see that? You see that? You see how white people do?
I do. There is a black woman right now listening mad because the white ones are awful for her. Because she's getting that residual on her hands. So
don't trust Whitey.
You're saying that it's a great invention.
I would just like to say that it's not the end of the world.
I'm just saying.
If you get a little residue on your fingers.
That's Jensen's privilege.
And then your whole day when you're touching things, you're leaving the residue out.
Yes, wash your hands.
Wash your hands?
I do wash my hands. It doesn't come off.
It does.
You guys.
You're being ridiculous.
No. All day, as a Cheeto enthusiast.
You are insane.
All day long, the tips of my fingers, inside of the nail, the cuticle, all that stuff will have small amounts of residue.
Then you need to buy a little brush and keep it right by your sink.
No, I don't have to get into CSI every time I eat Cheetos. What I'm saying is when I eat Cheetos, I'll wipe them down and wash it off. It's very easy. But also, it's just not a chip I love it, but I have problems with it.
Complicated.
It's a complicated relationship.
Very complicated. Holy crap.
You are straight crazy.
That was a real deep dive.
Are you guys saying, for reals, not a bit, are you guys saying that after you eat Cheetos and you wash your hands, you think it comes off completely?
Yes.
Absolutely.
You're wrong.
Okay.
It doesn't come off.
So there's like an indestructible Cheeto-ness that is constantly on your hands.
Yes.
Does it ever come off?
Yes,
is
it comes
it
off in
now?
Time. No, it comes off in time.
A couple
How
weeks.
Much time?
Maybe three or four washes or something over time.
Come on.
Yes. I'm not saying that it's on your hands all day and it looks like you murdered someone with your fingertips. What I'm saying is that it shows a little bit.
You need to double up on the meds.
Well, maybe. That might be right.
I can't.
Right?
Let's.
Nor can I.
Let's wrap this up, you guys.
Speaking of wrapping up, Ellie. For some reason, somebody made the decision to not play Jensen's wrap-up song this week. Would you mind if we heard it?
Not at all.
I wonder who that could have been, Bean.
No, I can't imagine.
Somebody hates
it's a shame there's no way to recap things that happened during the week.
Yeah, people miss a ton of stuff.
It is weird that we do so many things and then no one knows what happens at the end.
I know, I barely listen.
It's Friday on the show and I'm nervous for you. So in case you missed it, here's the week in review. Our office is a danger zone, it's totally wet. So we catch the diseases that only pirates can get. Everything is fine is what we're constantly told. While we watch fungus grow on top of the black mold. Hope we didn't affect sweet little Haley Joel. Or I'll catch a flight to Mars and jump in a black hole. Allie caught a cold and missed some days in a row. And I got to say hello to Alicia Keys on the phone. But if I get the plague or some type of polio, I'll do medical trials and try to make some dough. Mark Paul stopped by. But it's hard to tell. Was he exposed or is he saved by the bell? But if I'm really sick and I die real fast, put on my tombstone, check out the podcast.
Nice.
You had a
podcast
theme.
Is available at radio.com, iTunes, wherever you get yours. And here's a reminder, by the way, in addition to all of the Kevin and Bean podcasts from this week, there's a brand new episode of the B-Team podcast. First one of 2019, also available for you if you want to go there.
Those guys are lazy. Am I right? It's February. Okay.
some birthdays for you. John Grisham, Nick Nolte, Seth Green, Cecily Strong, Anderson Paak, and John Williams. And that's what's happening.
The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Stryker's commercial free-for-all during your drive home today on the world-famous K-Rock. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday morning.
Go Ducks.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
At the end of the day, you're all going to die.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, now.
Roll another one.
Anal.
Just like the other one.
Oh, yeah.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I'd rather you Google it.
And I need another.
Do you love Maroon 5 like I do?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
What's your favorite Maroon 5 song?
I listen to all of them. I really don't have a favorite, but I listen to all of them.
Give me Luda.
Another one.
That's something you get a facial note to.
Just like the other.
Giant nose, one of the obstacles.
This one seems to be about this
mess. I'm gonna just keep it a bit.
I don't have another cent.
You guys, I want to say it's such an honor to have me on your show.
This is total horse crap.
Just pass it around.
Canceled.
And the bogart that joined my friend.
Radian Durf. E.W. Ladbat.
Oh, that was a massive waste of time.
What a devastating and pointless exercise this has been.
It was horrible, too. As soon as I finished, I was like, what did you f***ing do? What did you just do?
And when you're done, cleanup is quick and easy. Just pull out the sleeve, pour out the contents, and wash it with soap and water.
Guys, that was bitchin'.
Bong, bong.
My name is Andy Warhol, and I just...